we became a 1% for the planet business, which which means 1% of our gross annual revenue goes to environmental causes or conservancies. We focus on national parks and national forests. So less on maybe the politics of you know, the green movement, and more on like, we have a beautiful backyard. We need to make sure we keep them beautiful. We need to make sure we raise awareness for these things that we take for granted. And also in the spirit of trying to get the community to experience it more and know that it's there, the ones that haven't been.
Welcome back to another episode of Central Valley Podcast. I'm your host, Micah D'Ailey, a filmmaker, photographer, and a dude passionate about his community. This podcast focuses on the talented individuals that make up the Central Valley of California, as well as people who are passionate about what they do. The Central Valley has gotten a bad rep, and we're here to change that. If you enjoy what we're doing, we kindly ask that you download each episode, subscribe to our YouTube, and leave a rating and review on whatever podcast app you're using. And once again, thanks for tuning into another episode of Central Valley Podcast.
Shout out Duffy, shout out Micah.
This is it, Central Valley Podcast.
Hey, big shout out Central Valley Podcast.
You know I had to fuck with it.
Hey, shout out Central Valley Podcast.
We're back and with new chairs. Mike, thank you for coming on. I appreciate it.
Good to be here.
Yes, and why don't you introduce
Batch one of the new chairs.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. We needed you to come test this out, exactly.
Still getting comfy.
Yeah, exactly. So you're here from Tioga Sequoia. Why don't you introduce yourself?
Mike Cruz, president of Tioga Sequoia Brewing Company, Fresno-based brewery that's now added a second home in Merced, downtown Merced, and excited to be on the podcast.
Yeah, dude,
to talk about it.
Yeah, dude, I'm excited to have you guys on. And what are we going to start with drinking today?
You know, I mentioned this before. I think we start with one of our brands that I think is somewhat emulates this podcast and what it means. It's Highway 99. It's what connects all the great cities.
Yes,
in the
exactly.
Central Valley, including Fresno to Merced. So
might take a little longer than we'd like to get to places,
a little bumpier.
Yeah, a little bumpier, especially here in Merced. But other than that, it's what connects all of us here in the Central Valley.
It connects us. Yeah, we didn't say how it connects us, but it does connect us.
Yeah, exactly, dude. Well, sweet, dude.
Yeah, so I just thought we'd start with this. This is like one of our easiest drinking beers.
This is what you guys make your micheladas with, right?
Couple different beers with this, but this is.
Oh,
the,
really? So wait, what else you guys didn't make?
So our Murrieta, our Murrieta chili beer is made with this as the base.
Oh, really?
I
haven't had that one.
It's on and off in Merced because we run out really quick, but it's on right now. So if you guys want to
Sweet. Awesome, dude.
Try it. Yes, it's just our easy drinking golden ale. It's been around since 2012. You can have the can or you want to pour it in?
Oh, here, I'll...
however you want to do it.
Here, I'm going to go like this, and I'll just give this to Duffy, and then I'll drink the rest of it.
I probably won't drink all of this if we're going to have a couple.
Yeah, so you can pour back
but
into these.
See it. Yeah, I'll see the glass.
Thank you.
And then how did you get... like, when did your journey with Tioga Sequoia start? Like, how did you get connected?
Man, so I mean, I've been around since the beginning. I think a lot of people just... it's 50-50. If you've known me forever, then you know I started as really an intern with the brewery when it was first just a brand.
And what year was that?
This is 2009.
Oh, okay.
But most people think of me as just the owner. You know, my title is president, but it took a little bit to get to that point.
I haven't always been the president, you guys.
Yeah, so.
So were you just like what did you start as?
So the brewery was just a brand when it started in 2007. So it was about a year and a half before I jumped on. And I started as like a brand manager. Well, an intern for like a few months. Mm-hmm. And then I graduated college, Fresno State. And then I asked to, like, I want to do this. I see some potential in the craft beer market. Is still young, late 2000s, right? And I got hired on as a brand marketing manager. That was
my
kind of initial thing. But it was really just me, the brewmaster, and a couple production guys.
And that's like before really social media took off and stuff. Like
close.
Like I mean, Facebook was kind of there.
MySpace was my first thing that we created for the brewery.
Really? So, yeah, that's how you old Diogo Goy is. Exactly. You guys had a MySpace.
We had a MySpace. So
that's funny. Oh, hold on. I didn't press record on that, Duffy.
Oh, okay.
I'm just going to do it real quick.
And break.
Already.
So it's just like a head on?
Sorry,
the whole time?
I was just like, I realized that. I was like, oh, yeah.
I hadn't said anything, so it's not going to pan to me anyways during those first pieces, but.
Okay. Well.
We're good. Sorry. I was just like thinking that in my head.
I thought this was the Micah show.
Yeah.
But we just got this multi-camera edit thing that like makes it a lot more interesting to watch it. But so you had a you started out with the MySpace. You're in the marketing department, right?
Well, I started as marketing, sales, marketing manager, brand manager. But again, it was just me doing pretty much that whole side of the business, and then our brewmaster and a couple production guys to start for the first like year and a half, 2 years. Mm-hmm. So, but it, you know. We've had like a really memorable journey since I've started. I've had so much fun learning, getting into the not only the science of beer, but the culture of beer, the beer geekiness of beer, and that you know that happened in the early 2010s.
Yeah, because I feel like before like 2000s, like you're saying, you guys started 2007 ish, but like from like 2007 to like 2012, 13, I feel like. Craft beer
crazy
became a thing, right? So do you know anything like about the history of that?
Yeah, so I mean, a lot of it had to do with just the right time. You know, millennials started getting into drinking, right? That was a big time for millennials of age, and there was this like local kind of anti-established like thing that craft beer had going for itself in the 2000s, and people were like, yeah, I don't want to drink big beer. I want something with flavor. I want something to support. I want to meet the person that makes the beer for me. That was a big deal in that time frame, and I think that's really what blew up craft beer as it is today. And then it cycled into this like uber beer geek thing where you're starting to really almost hate on things that aren't like super specific malt or barrel aging or just like light lagers that I think craft brewers are starting to make really well now.
Well, I feel like they were gone for a while. It was just like when IPAs came around, I was like, man, can we get like, I thought, I mean, I enjoy IPAs, but I always tell people like, you can only have like, I can only have like one or two IPAs. I don't want to be drinking IPAs all night. You know what I mean?
And that was the season where like they got extreme. Like 12%, just ripping
triple,
the enamel off your teeth, like
triple,
hopped up, and that was a big thing. And I think we played into that space a little bit during that time.
Well, of course, everyone was kind of,
but it was an extreme time. Mm-hmm. I think where we are now is a little bit more broad market. It's a little more accepting to everyone drinking beer. We're starting to make good lagers again the last handful of years, and people are accepting them.
Yeah,
we're. During the IPA time, that's all I wanted. Like rip my face off, the most alcohol.
Yeah.
I don't want to taste my tongue after this, right?
So, how hoppy can we get
exactly.
this?
Exactly.
Make it taste like a pine tree real quick.
And there's still people that enjoy
stuff,
but it's just less. It's a little bit more broad of flavor profile that's accepted these days.
And so that kind of is what started it, was just people kind of wanting to know the brew makers and try to
I wanted a connection to the and that's a very millennial thing. You know, I think Gen Z they have a whole different type of flavor palette that they like. They like things sweet with flavor, less aggressive, less bitter, but they also don't care as much about, they don't need to know that it's local. They don't need to some of them do, but I mean, in general, it's more about like, what do you stand for, or is it good? Is it something, you know, is it healthy? Is it, you know, those types of, those are the things that we're seeing
now,
some of the trends with, that is going on now. And that's why
how low-cal can we go is like, is what it is sometimes now.
We say better for you because it's still beer. There's still alcohol.
Yeah.
So it's just better than a 10% IPA.
Yeah.
You know? So
that's funny.
But, so things are changing in a good way. I think. There's new drinkers, and there's still a lot of old drinkers that just want IPAs, but it's a good mix these days.
That's cool. And then, so when did how did the brewery start? Like who's the founder and stuff?
So there's a family that has a lot of different investments that started the brand, and it was really just it wasn't anything. They had this idea that there's no one distributing and making craft beer at the time, and putting it in package and selling it to supermarkets and other bars. There was just brew pubs, if you guys are familiar with what that is.
And so what's the difference between a brew pub and like a
brew pub is probably a restaurant that makes their own beer, but they're more of a restaurant than a brewery.
So like there's small batch brewery.
There's
basically.
Still small, yeah. And then I think there's still some really, there was some really good brew pubs, but no one was really saying, all right, I want a brand that I can package, represent this area, and go to market with it so people can drink it in their favorite bar, at their home, you know, on taking it to, you know, outdoors on their
Well, that's the big thing with your guys' beer. I always see a lot of people like taking it
and
places.
And we also, you know, the intent of really owning our backyard and our community. So those were like the pillars that this was started, but it was really nothing tangible. So we, when I say we were a brand, we didn't have our actual brewery. We worked with a brew pub to create the brands and the recipes initially, and we took those recipes to bigger breweries at the time that were packaging, because there was really none. We were even before Dust Bowl. So this, there was really no one doing that in the Valley until we started doing it in 2007. And around the time I jumped on, we were like, okay, how do we grow this thing? We need to pick a location. We need to do this. We need to own it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we landed in downtown Fresno. Tail end of 2009, 2010, we built out the brewery and started producing beer. And cool. It's all she wrote from there.
So, yeah.
I mean, there's been a lot of history. You know, our beer garden has been a big part of our
brand. And the beer garden is somewhere else, right?
It's across the alley from where we make beer. But gotcha. It's not... They are somewhat separate from our production brewery in downtown.
Yeah, and you guys seem very like... So whose idea was it, the whole Yosemite type of... you know, I mean, everything, you know, I'm not everything, but a lot of it.
So a lot of that came and really got fleshed out when I jumped on, because it was an identity. It was a direction, but we didn't own it like we do now.
Yeah.
Right. We started expanding upon those brands. We became a 1% for the planet business, which means 1% of our gross annual revenue goes to environmental causes or conservancies. We focus on national parks and national forests. So less on maybe the politics of you know, the green movement, and more on like, we have a beautiful backyard. We need to make sure we keep them beautiful. We need to make sure we raise awareness for these things that we take for granted. And also in the spirit of trying to get the community to experience it more and know that it's there, the ones that haven't been. And I mean, that's a whole nother talking point of, I probably half the people I meet have never been that live here, never been to Yosemite or Sequoia.
Dude, isn't that blow your mind? Blow your mind every time. I'm like, how? But and I think I went. I do the only thing I went a couple times when I was a kid. But like when I turned 18, I just remember I was going to Yosemite all the time. Mm-hmm. And that's where I think I've probably found your guys' beer for the very first time, was like in Yosemite Half Dome. I didn't even think, like, for some reason I was like, this must just be Yosemite's beer. Like at the time, know what I mean?
That's what we are now. Yeah. So I'm not gonna lie. That's our number one. That's our number one like location where we sell beer.
Yeah.
Outside of our tap room. So, and people just know they own it, right? I mean, I'm getting literally posts at least every other week of people summiting Half Dome, and they're like celebrating with the Half Dome on the mountain, or they're going to Curry Village and they're having it on draft there afterwards. And it's really, you know, it's really amazing to see it. Funny story, actually. So our main logo, which is this right here, it's like, it's representative of the Forest Service. So
It's their like national park kind of
national forest
symbol or shield. Yeah. I should say.
When we first started, you know, that's all they thought. They thought we were Forest Service people. Like if I had a logo on my car, or if I was wearing a shirt, they're like, "Oh, you were the Forest Service." Like, you know, so what do you do, or you know, what's your job like? Like, no, we're just a brewery that loves the outdoors, and we're we have this logo that emulates them. Probably, I'd say up to 5 years ago, I started getting Forest Service people coming to me and saying, people are coming to us thinking we work for the brewery.
So, and I'm full circle.
That's where that was one of the times I knew. I was like, all
right. That's how you know you made it, right?
Our brand has gotten somewhere.
People think that the Forest people work for the brewery. Exactly. Are you guys up here capturing hops, or what are you doing up here?
Exactly. Yeah.
That's really funny.
Surveying, dude. Getting wild yeast or something. Uh-huh.
Yeah. And did, so with like the naming of the beer, like Half Dome and Firefall and stuff, is there anything like legal about that?
So,
curiosity?
So all, a lot of these things, especially the landmarks that we have our brands tied to, they can't be trademarked. They can be trademarked for a certain product, mm-hmm. but no one can just own the like Facebook. Like it can't be owned mm-hmm. because it's a national
it's
name.
It's like a thing.
So we could own the trademark for the style of the category, right? Mm-hmm. So someone else can have a Yosemite deli or a face or a Half Dome deli. Or
mm-hmm.
We can't trademark that.
Yeah, you can't.
Unless we used it and we had a deli and then we could trademark
Yeah. So you can technically, like, you have a beer named Half Dome, but if it comes to Half Dome,
nobody else can name something in its likeness or with at least with our logo and then that using that name as a beer.
Uh-huh. Gotcha.
We can trademark it as a beer.
As a beer, yeah, specifically.
Not the name itself.
Yeah, and that's what I was wondering, because I was like, I mean, Half Dome's a mountain, but like, you wouldn't think that'd be like,
yeah.
You can't have that name. It's already a mountain, man, okay?
Yeah. I mean, it's the same with this, the Forest Service logo, too. I mean,
because yours is just the, it's like one of those things, I mean, I don't know if it is, but with, like if you take a logo or take something, if you change it X amount.
It's an imitation.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's like inspired by.
Exactly.
It's like a movie inspired by true events. It's like, okay, what does that mean, man? Is it real or not?
Yeah.
No, that's cool.
Or how much of it was.
Yeah, I know. Exactly. That's cool. And then you guys seem very like community driven. And so that probably obviously started on a smaller scale in Fresno. Mm-hmm. And now it's like you guys are having like big events everywhere. Or at least in Merced and Fresno.
Yeah, we definitely own, we try and do as much as we can and own the communities that we're in, but it started in Fresno. Our biggest event we do is called Fres Yes Fest. And this
Fres Yes Fest?
Yes, it's in downtown. It's now 3 blocks worth of downtown Fresno. We had over 20,000 people show up last year.
Damn.
It's crazy. Last March. So.
Dang.
Yep.
And then, so are all the other breweries there too then? Because, right, there's a whole bunch of breweries in
there. There's a couple breweries in downtown. It's been off and on. Breweries have fluctuated mm-hmm. in and out, but there are a couple. The event is, we started it as an anniversary party, opening our beer garden in downtown. So it started as just in our lot.
Oh, really?
That was like, and then it moved to the street, and then it moved to a block, then 2 blocks, then 3 blocks. The next year, it's probably 4 blocks because we ran out of room. And
what stuff do you have going on there, like, for people to do?
It's, so it celebrates all of the great things that surround our community. It's more than just downtown at this point. Food trucks, there's about 30 to 40 different Valley-based food trucks, up to 100 vendors from local makers to, you know, we try not to just bring in someone that's selling, you know, cell service or something.
Yeah,
right? They make something cool, or they have some type of
like handcrafted product. Type
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, yeah, and live music throughout the whole day. We typically have different programming with, like, this. More recently, we've created this thing called like a Michi Village, where we have a bunch of different Michelada makers that pair our beer with their mix. We had five of them last one.
So you had like a whole section of
It's called, I forget what it was called. We had one year where you had to go different places uh-huh. within the festival. With this one, they were all together.
That's pretty cool.
We had different DJ setups. This last Fres Yes, we had a like a live mural being painted of some Fresno iconic stuff. Well, and there was a local band specific stage that was right in front of it. So it was like correlated with local. Right?
Dang.
But it's an all-day festival. It's free. I mean, it's something that we hope to aspire to do here mm-hmm. in Merced as well. And it's just everyone comes out, and it's like it's a good time. All of the different businesses that surround the event or within the event get tremendous exposure. It's the busiest day of the year for them. And, you know, there's a lot of those types of things that when we look back at the end of the day and we had to deal with 20,000 people and we're just, you know, we had basically a 24-hour day, you know, it's like, but we hear these like success stories and people happy and people that come to this event that's never been to downtown or found a business that they wouldn't have seen or heard mm-hmm. of if they didn't come to this event. It means a lot. It means a lot.
Yeah, because it's like, you're putting on the event, but by putting it on, you got to benefit all these other people in the community and all these other businesses.
I always tell my employees, like, this is a big deal. Like, it's a lot of work, and I know everyone stresses out over it, and it's a lot, you know, a lot of sweat, a lot of energy, but it's like, what other business in town does something like this? Like, we got to be proud of what we're able to do and that continue to do and grow.
And so that started something. The first year it started as just anniversary party.
Anniversary party, yeah. So we partner with a gentleman named Mike Oz. He started Fresno Street Eats. Mm-hmm. He's starting to do something called 209 Street Eats. Mm-hmm. He's helping program our food trucks here.
Oh, cool.
At the tap room. But he has this radio show called Osmosis, and it was like they lined in the same day. So we're like, let's just throw a party. Let's see if people show up. And it was, you know, we had about 1,000 people the first time. It was crazy. So we're like, okay, we can get people downtown. Like, what else can we do? Mm-hmm. And that was what inspired us to build the beer garden. Now, we actually didn't have a retail space when we first started, just production.
Oh, it was just like the brewery.
Just
itself.
The brewery. Like I would occasionally open up on
a
weekend.
There's no tap room or anything
for sampling and to sell beer to go. But we didn't have what we have now. Why we have it was because of that event.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So that's how it ended up opening up on. So your beer garden is your beer garden the main one then where like you go and you have drinks and stuff like that. Okay, and so but then the brewery
it started as a little like roll up door. You know, we had grain and packaging that we stored in that warehouse. It wasn't really used for a beer garden. It was just like, oh well, let's try it out. Mm-hmm. You know, since this event works so well, and you know, 2 or 3 years later, we took over the whole space and we're doing these events all the time.
And then that must be crazy looking back since you've been with it so long that like each year you're like adding little things. And now here we are like literally
now
almost
we're adding cities.
Almost 20 years later, like almost, you know what I mean? That like you're like, oh dang, it's like you're saying like one block to two blocks to three blocks. Like that's cool that you've got to seen it grow. And so what's something that like looking back and watching it grow that like that you're like, I mean, you guys all seem very community driven, but like when did like you guys started putting on for like the Valley with like 99. Is this somewhat new? 99?
2012.
2012.
It was right around when 805 hit.
Oh, so okay.
Probably the same time because we were.
You guys have a 209 beer or no?
We don't have a 209. We don't have a 559 beer either.
Oh, so. That would be first, huh? You're like, yeah, we don't have a 559 where we're from, dude.
Priorities, Mike.
Yeah. But we are creating a Merced type beer, though. That's something. I guess we've created it by now.
Yeah, yeah. Yes. It's out.
It's out now, yes.
Do you want to show it?
Yeah, yeah.
And then we can kind of talk about your guys' move to Merced and stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So we, this. Here,
let's go. This, it'll zoom in.
Yeah.
So what is this?
This is called Main Street IPA. It's actually a split from a beer that we've created in Fresno for Fulton Street. We just wanted to brand it and give it an identity that made sense for Merced. We do it once or twice a year, depending on what's going on. We decided to release it this year or this month in Merced. And so it's but it's meant to celebrate Main Street. It's meant to celebrate, you know, our move to Merced and all the great things that we hope to aspire to.
It looks pretty light for an IPA, honestly.
It is light, so. What I would say is this is just a demo.
Demo? Okay, yeah, gotcha. No worries.
So I don't know if you can cut this out. But,
no, you're good.
This one, so we're actually packaging it next week.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
In reality. So taste it, but I don't know what it is. So it might just be,
be a logo. Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah. I think this is like a, it tastes like a cider or something.
Maybe. Yeah.
You taste it? It doesn't matter.
I'll tell you. I
love this new IPA. Yeah. No, that's cool. Sorry. And so how did you guys kind of, like, what was the jump to moving to Merced? You know what I mean? Like, so, how did that come to be?
So right before the pandemic, we were looking for a second home. We were doing really well with the beer garden, and like we really want to spread our brand. We've been going deep. We want to start to spread throughout the valley and really make a bigger name for ourselves. And so I was looking for different cities, and just Merced at the beginning wasn't on my radar.
Building named the Tioga or what?
I just completely overlooked it. I think I didn't know it was being renovated at the time too, but. So inevitably I got reached out by someone that was trying to rent the space at the bottom, and they were looking for a different brewery. They were looking for us, and I was like, We're not them, but I'm definitely interested knowing that the building's called the Tioga.
Right? I mean, it's like,
seems like it's worth exploring and seeing, you know, what this thing's about. So
it seems like it's
you're looking for a brewery
hotel.
And we're called Tioga Sequoia. Yeah. might be interested. So I set up a meeting. This is the tail end of 2019. I fell in love with the building. We started working on a letter of intent to make sure that we were going to move forward with it. We announced in February during the State of the City
of 2020. Man.
And then, like, the timing, you know, huh? 3 weeks later, pandemic hit. And it was just like, okay, well, we still want to do it, but we just need to reassess and see what the timing is, build out and all that stuff. So it took about a year of a pause. We got back to settling on a lease agreement and then getting a timeline. And then at that point, things just got super expensive and we started changing some of the layout, and we went back and forth. But it took, you know, needless to say, it took about 3 years. And did you get to try any of the other ones? So used to say it took about 3 years, and
because you opened up in what, March of this year?
March of this year.
Because I went there for you guys a soft opening. It was my 30th birthday. I was like,
St. Patrick's Day, huh?
It was like the second weekend of the soft opening.
Okay,
so it was the 25th of March, though. Yeah,
got it.
But no, I love the whole little environment you guys have there. I will say, I was so confused with the bathroom when I first went in. I was like, what?
Yeah, people are still confused.
So. I saw a girl washing her hands, and I was like, whoa, hold on a second.
Everyone thinks they walked in the wrong one.
I know. So we're hoping that eventually people will learn the space and they'll figure it out.
No, it took me once of going there to realize what was going on.
But it was meant to save space.
Not
that it's a small building, but we wanted to maximize the amount of space we had. And it's a modern thing, but it's not uncommon.
Not by any means at all. No. But it was just like when I went in there, I was like, what is it? I was like, there's a girl in here. I was like, am I in the right room? It was like, did I somehow?
No urinals either. And I'm like, oh no.
That's really funny.
Yeah. Always is, you get so many double takes.
Yeah.
Typically from guys.
And then how many beers do you guys have on tap? How many beers do you guys have?
So we've probably made over 350 beers in our career of making beers. But typically we'll have about 16 to 20 on tap at all times at the tap room.
Mm-hmm. And then are you guys like in cans and stuff like that? Is it more or?
So are you talking about like in general over our production?
Like your normal, like let's say like month to month, what you guys are like produce now, is it more?
Producing is total, it's like 65% cans, maybe 70%.
Oh, cans, really?
For distribution.
Yeah, exactly. And then you're now
supermarkets. And
then is Yosemite your number one?
Yosemite is about 5 to 10% of our overall volume goes to Yosemite.
Dang. Mm-hmm. And then you guys do stuff with the park sometimes too, right?
Yeah, we have this thing called Facelift that we've been doing for about 6 years.
With Ken Yeager.
Ken Yeager.
Dude. Ken came
on before.
Yeah, Ken came on the podcast, dude.
Yeah, great guy. I love Ken.
So many stories, too.
Man, yeah, I'm sure he told you the famous one.
The plane crashing one. Yeah. That's why I had him on the podcast, man. Because I went to the climbing museum he opened up in Mariposa, and me and my wife were just, it's actually funny because I'm like an ambassador for Royal Robbins. You know Royal Robbins? Yeah. So that brand, they reached out to me like a while ago, and like they basically give me free products and I take pictures and stuff. I haven't really done it in a long time, but they're still sending me free clothes, so it's dope. But I was up there shooting something at Briceburg, and then my wife was like, let's go check this out. And then I didn't even know like who Ken was or anything, and I was just telling him the story. I was like, yeah, dude, I love the story about Merced Lake and everything. And he was like, this is the airplane's door. I was like, really? And I was like, that's really cool. And he was like, yeah, I was there. I got a bale of marijuana. I was like, oh my God, really? And then he came on the podcast. Like, he said he hiked for like 20 hours to get it. I was like, what?
Yeah, hiked after climbing. To get up there. Yeah, I think he's even on he's on a Netflix too.
He's on a Valley Uprising.
Valley Uprising. Yeah,
that documentary is great too.
Yep.
And so, did Ken know? How did Ken get involved with you guys?
So I met Ken through getting introduced to Facelift, but You know, funny stories. I heard about the event for a handful of years, but it was sponsored by New Belgium, actually.
Oh,
before
really?
We got involved. And one of the local reps called me in 2017 and was like, hey, you know, our budget's kind of cut back and we can't fully sponsor it this year. And, you know, you guys are perfect. I know, you know, you probably would love to do it. It was like, sign me up.
Yeah,
like,
that's
like,
perfect.
You know, like, yeah, I'm there. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
So first year was just me. I showed up. I was able to get some kegs donated. I helped them pour and get everything situated. And that's where they make a lot of their money back in the nightly events. They sell beer.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So that was the main donation. And then that's where I got to meet Ken, and I got to meet a lot of the people there, and I loved the event. I was there for not the whole time. I think I was there for 3 days that year. And the next year, it came around. I was just asking. I was like, hey, so what's going on? Like, I'd love to do it again.
This podcast is brought to you by Marcus Rodriguez. If you're looking to buy or sell your home in this competitive market and you're not too sure where to start, look no further than Merced's preferred realtor, Marcus Rodriguez. He'll make sure the process goes as easy as possible, and you can reach him at 209-554-1715. Once again, that's 209-554-1715. You can visit his website, www.myagentmarcus.com, or email him, info@myagentmarcus.com. Thanks again, Marcus. This podcast is brought to you by B-Junk Free Merced. Everyone has stuff that is taking up space, but not everybody has the time or equipment to do something about it. And that's where Scott Levesey comes in. If you have junk overtaking your garage, yard, that spare room, or even a storage unit, give B-Junk Free Merced a call at 209-233-1519. Once again, it's 209-233-1519. He'll give you an estimate, and the best part about B-Junk Free Merced is that he will clean up the mess for you. So you just point, and he'll clean it up for you. You know how he's not going to drop off a trailer and make you do the work. He's going to make sure that he does the work for you guys. So go ahead and give Scott Levesey a call at 209-233-1519. Thanks again, B-Junk Free. This podcast is brought to you by Thor. No, not the God of Thunder. The dude who does tattoos in Merced. Now, if you're in the Central Valley area and you're looking to get a tattoo, look no further than this dude right here. He's a versatile artist that specializes in black and gray realism. He's located in Merced at the Merced Tattoo and Piercing Company. And if you'd like to make an appointment with him, the best thing you can do is follow him on Instagram. That's @_THOREEEEE. That's @_Thor with 5 E's. You click the link in the bio, and that is exactly how you make the appointment. So thank you again, Thor, and please go check him out.
They ended up not being able to sponsor it at all, and we came in and said, hey, we'll do it, and
that's
all she wrote.
Yeah, that's all she wrote. Well, I mean, you guys, like you're saying, like, you're perfect for it. There's no other beer that would be
I mean, it, yeah,
up
it makes
par
sense.
For Yosemite specifically. Yeah,
I do see that, but, you know, it's one of those things where I'm happy that we're there. I'm happy with the experiences we've had.
Mm-hmm.
We eventually got to create a beer for the event.
Yeah, because that's what he was saying.
That Ken always wanted to do.
Yeah, he was like, it was
the
cool.
The breweries are too big to do it for him. Yeah. And so we're a lot smaller than New Belgium.
Yeah, so you can do some collaboration type beers.
Yeah,
every year do you guys do a facelift beer?
We have been since 2019. We've been doing a beer for them every year. So this year it's going to be an IPA. I'm trying to think where we're at right now. Yeah, it's going to be an IPA. We're collaborating with Pure Project.
Is it in September it normally is?
It's in the middle of September.
Okay.
Or the third weekend in September.
Because last year was my first year ever going to it, but because I had Ken on the podcast and I was like, oh, I have to go now. It was funny because I get there and I'm like, I see Ken. Obviously, he's like a madman busy doing stuff. And I was like, hey, Ken. And he was like, looked at me like I knew he
maybe didn't remember.
Yeah. I knew he knew that, like, he knew me, but he didn't know where from. He was like, And I was like, from the podcast you did? And he was just like, oh, yeah, what's your name again? And I was just like, I was like, Micah. And it was really funny because during the podcast, I talked to this dude for like an hour and a half. And at the very end of it, I was, for some reason, instead of saying Ken, I was like, thanks, Glenn. He was just like, I mean, it's Ken. And then he ended it, like, when we were ending the podcast, he was like, it was great meeting you, Michael. And I was just like, oh, touche, Ken. Exactly. That's cool. And then, so what did you guys' idea for, or any plans for, like, Merced community and stuff like that?
So, I mean, this is our fourth month.
Yeah, I know you're still real fresh.
And some of, you know, so my team that runs Merced, they're all from here. So I'm admittedly, I'm not from here, but I support everything that's going on here. I've started to learn more about the community. I love what I've been seeing. I'm really excited to get to know it more. But little things that we're starting to get involved with, this event called Wolfstock.
October. I filmed for them last year.
Yeah, so we're trying to put on more block parties that involve the community, other food purveyors and vendors.
Mm-hmm.
We're partnered with the night market, the supermarket.
Oh,
guys.
Yeah, yeah. I was just messaging him today about we're definitely going to do a podcast over there for
So.
So we'll talk again, Mike.
I'm sure we will.
Back to back.
But you know, we've noticed some people and organizations doing some fun things in the community. So we're leeching onto those. Pretty, you know,
that's what
say,
I do, man.
How do we? Well, when I say leech, I mean like, hey, how do we help make it better?
Yeah.
How can we support you? You know, we want to help you.
That's your way to
there.
Get into
exactly.
it. You know what I mean? That's the same thing with me with the podcast. Is I got. Like, it's like the podcast is pretty small. It's like me and Duffy in reality of things. You know, some people think it's this whole or
whole
team
production.
Of people. Yeah exactly. Exactly. And so that's what I like to do is like, okay, like I have videography skills. And so how can I use those to benefit people? Or mm-hmm. I have a platform. So how can I use to like promote things and stuff like that? So I like to like the night market and you guys are doing something cool. And I'm like, okay, that seems really cool. It seems really fun. And I would love to be a part of it. So that's why I always reach out to people. It's like, how can we
exactly
be a part of it?
I
you know what I mean?
Too. And Eli, who puts that thing on, is super excited, super in love with the community. He's most of what he does. He doesn't try to make money off of it. He just wants to support.
Dude, he's helped out the community more than a lot of people.
Yeah,
dude.
So
it's
we're
really
like,
cool.
Well, how, you know, we'd love to partner with you. If you guys do something here, we can support you, help market, share some of the costs.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we just want, you know, we want to be where you guys are and help you guys out and keep doing what you're doing. So. Easily jumped on, and we're doing this thing on the 19th.
Yeah. And I like that it's a night market. It's a good move.
mini night market. Yes.
Yeah, mini night.
It's called a mini market at night. Yes.
But I feel like it's a lot bigger than mini sometimes, though.
They are, but I think the block that we're taking.
Are you doing just half the block again?
Or no, we're doing the whole block.
Okay,
but
cool.
He's gotten up to over 100 vendors now for his
stuff. Dude, that's what I'm saying. You say mini, I'm like, all the markets I've been to are massive, man.
Yeah. They're definitely super, right?
Yeah. They're supermarket, man. Is the daytime ones called supermarket? Or it's just called the supermarket, right?
So I asked him about that because he has like... strangers and night market, supermarket. He's got a lot of different
things.
And
the Pretty Good Burger is also involved.
He's also got a barbershop.
And they're opening up another thing as well.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I'm like. They're so active. I reached out to him about coming on the podcast. He's like, super busy now, but definitely want to.
Yeah.
But I was like, all right. I was like, well, we can... We'll have a mini version of it at the supermarket, and then next season we can really talk to him and sit down. Mm-hmm. That's cool. And then I had a question: is your brewmaster like the same person the whole time, or how does that?
Yeah. So our original brewmaster had early retirement a couple years ago, just shortly after.
Because I watched a video not too long.
Kevin.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And he had been doing it from like the 70s or
he's
something.
He's been doing it since Butterfields. If you guys are familiar with Butterfields,
look it up. Duffy
is one of the original breweries in the valley that packaged beer. So they were the like one of the or if they, not the main original in like the late 90s early 2000s, and then they
and that was
away.
a beer in the valley.
Yeah, they used to they actually made the
but it was like a bigger company or was it
they ended up downscaling to what is now known as Sequoia Brewing Company,
which is not
we did work with them in the beginning.
That's who
helped create the recipes with us. But
Butterfield's Brewing.
Yeah, they had their beer, their main beer
they're
was called
Fresno
Bridal
too?
Bill.
Are
they
still around?
They're out of business
they're not. Okay, gotcha.
They're not, but they're one of the they're maybe the only if not the, definitely the first. They had like 3 gold medals at JBF.
Oh, and that's the like for beer like taste and stuff.
Yep. For Bridalville, which is one of which was their flagship. I think that's it right there. If you click on the photo, it'll say what the actual. No, the one
oh,
with the
this
label
one right here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it's called Bridalville
Amber Ale. Yeah.
Yep, gold medal winner in like 99 or something.
And
like
so that's where the original brewmaster came from.
Mm-hmm.
And that was how like when was Butterfield
this
going
99,
on?
99, 98, like late.
So they
90s,
were like
early
way
2000s.
Ahead of their time in the sense of like. Brewery agents.
Brew pub. They were a brew pub that when they won these medals, they were like, well, we've got, you know, we've got the stuff, so let's invest in a $4 million brewery and see what we can do. And unfortunately, it did only lasted a few years. They got a little over their skis. And
but he learned about you guys when he was brewing your beer, or no?
No. So when we contracted with Sequoia to create mm-hmm. these recipes, he was still working there as the brewmaster. And when we decided to basically become our brewery, he said, "Hey, I'd like to do this to get back to what I did with Butterfields, because I know you guys have the ability. I like what you're doing, and like I want to put my name in
that's
that
cool." And so did he like make a lot of your distinct beers?
Oh, he's made
like Half Dome.
Initially,
and
he made a lot. I mean, they've all evolved.
Over
time.
Over the years,
they've
and
gotten
stuff.
You know, modern ingredients, and they've shaped to.
What beer do you think has changed the most? Out of curiosity, from like the original recipe.
Oh man, so Half Dome. Half Dome's changed the most. That's the beer I'll probably open next.
Yeah,
It started as a half Weizen,
like a Hefeweizen,
half pale ale.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that was the original
half Weizen.
Yeah, exactly. Half Weizen.
Because a Half Dome is that kind of the idea there too.
Dome half wise,
yeah.
But in it's like 10 years basically, maybe I guess 8 or 9 is when we ended on what it is now. It was probably 6 or 7 different recipes,
dang.
All wheat based, so
all somewhat similar,
but it just different yeast, some with citrus.
Was it always peach? Because right, it's peach.
No, when we peach is what it is and what it will be forever, because that's been the most successful for us. It's now created this bigger thing where now we're doing strawberry.
Yeah. Oh, so you gave me that six pack. Yep, it was really good. Cause like sometimes when like someone gives you something with strawberry, I'm like imagining it's going to be super sweet or,
like
you know,
Jolly Rancher.
Or like like a cider or something like that. And when I taste, I was like, oh, it's like a hint of strawberry.
Yeah.
You know, it's not,
it's more
but
refreshing.
Is it still peach in there too? Or is it?
No.
Do you replace it with
strawberry?
Oh,
so
okay.
We've created this brand family with Half Dome. It's now
like, so you can like do subcategories
of forward wheat beer. And the,
have you done anything else besides strawberry?
We've done off that wasn't called Half Dome, but still using some of the recipe to do like we've done like play with like watermelon, cucumber sometimes, like just different kiwi.
Watermelon beer that I've ever liked is the 21st Amendment. The
hell
like, yeah. it's like a Coors Light with a hint of watermelon.
And I think for this beer, like that, even the peach in the regular Half Dome, it's not. It's subtle. It's not like
It's super subtle. But I love Hefeweizen's like my go to. Like I enjoy Hefeweizen's a lot. So that's why I was like when I was trying to guys is I think I've always had Hefeweizen. Like I was saying when I was like 18, I started having it. And I was like, this is really good. But it's so funny. Like I had no idea that they were. I was like, this is. I guess Yosemite has a brewery somewhere.
I just
assumed it was like Mariposa
brewing
or
on top
something.
Of Half Dome or El Capitan.
So you guys, have you guys ever done like anything with any of the climbers? I know obviously. Ken, but I was just because there's so many climbers in Yosemite.
You mean like the like
I mean like Alex Honnold or something? Yeah, no. You're like mean the fucking most famous climber in the world, dude?
No, I don't think he even drinks beer. So
that's true.
But, no. I mean, most of my climbing like affiliations and experience has been through Facelift. Is really a climbing community. Like that's
how it started. It is,
its history. So you know, every year. Those are the people that are doing the seminars and giving all like the experiences on climbing XYZ thing. They used to do like they debuted a free solo at one of the facelifts.
Oh,
West Coast
really?
Premiere of free solo when it was like I guess 2019.
Yeah.
So that was the thing for climbers. Mm-hmm. It still is, but the pandemic. Shaking a lot of stuff.
Exactly.
Up,
so. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, because when I was at a facelift last year, Conrad was there. You know who
mm-hmm.
Conrad
yeah,
is?
Yeah, Conrad,
yeah, Conrad's really cool. Mm-hmm. Me and my wife, like, it's funny. It's like, I would never go climbing, but I truly enjoy watching like that culture and people climb, but I just don't have it in me to have like... I don't trust myself to do that.
Yeah,
I'm like, I don't know about that.
Especially the free solo people.
Dude, it's different. I just watch it and I sweat. And I'm like, if I can't even watch somebody else do it, how can I imagine myself doing it? But that's, I mean, and it's cool because, so how many beers do you have that are named after Yosemite? Like the Firefall?
We have about 8.
What is it? Firefall, Half Dome, Elk, is it you have Elk Cap?
Elk Cap, Bridalville, Valley Haze.
Sorry, putting you on the spot.
No. Facelift's one of them. 2 Half Domes. Low Dome, which is another version of Half Dome, but low calorie.
Okay,
Blood
yeah.
Orange. Where are we at? Sorry.
So that was seven. Domes, that was seven.
Three half domes, facelift, Firefall, Bridal Veil, L Cap. Shoot, I said eight, but it might be seven.
No, you. I think you, because I was counting seven. I think you just didn't say one of the. You.
Yeah, you only said two half domes on the first one.
Yeah. Three. So well, so I think three.
It's three with low dome.
Low dome, and then the strawberry, and then. Oh, we're all. Why don't you just pull up their water?
Yeah.
Yeah,
oh, there you go.
we have seven year round beers that we make for
Yosemite type based stuff. Mm-hmm. And then a lot of the other ones are valley based, huh?
Valley based. We have some in Sequoia, like General Sherman's our actual flagship beer. It's based out of Sequoia.
Is yeah. that like what is a flagship beer? What does that mean? It's one of the originals.
It's one of the originals. It's one of the ones that you know typically you see everywhere. It's our main beer that we make. Yeah, our website's down.
Okay, yeah, down. I was literally trying
to. So you just have to. Well, actually, it's not down.
No, you just click on it.
Certified. You have to go past the
advanced
certification. Yeah.
Advanced stuff.
Yeah. Oh, I see.
Yeah,
and then
there's like this certificate from GoDaddy that we had to like send in and.
I was like trying to like read your guys' backstory, and I was just like,
I know.
And I was like, man,
it's been this way for like 5 days, and
oh, no worries at all. It's okay. We won't show that part.
Oh, it's not letting me in.
No, yeah. I had to go on Safari earlier, but it's okay. I was like going through link to link. And I was like, I'm going to get there, okay? Yeah. I'm going to watch these videos.
I'm going to blow through this. I trust these guys.
Yeah. What if you came on and you're like, do not click our site, man. You don't want to know. No. Oh, there you go. Yeah, just go to photos.
Yeah,
there
just
we
like
go.
A picture or something.
There you go.
Yeah.
You can also go to Untappd.
That's like the app that like I remember when breweries like were for like IPAs and stuff were first going out. I was like, you can go there, click the beer you've had, and then keep a log record, right?
Oh yeah, it's the way you keep score for sure.
That's cool, dude.
Yep.
And then you guys, a lot of stuff's like in house. Like weren't you saying like your graphic design artist and stuff like that?
Yeah, I mean over time, in I believe 2019, we hired our graphic artist who we have now, and she's made it. Life amazingly easy not easy, but just better, you know.
Yeah,
we're
if you
not
have
contracting out, or I'm not trying to do stuff on my own.
So, were you doing a lot of stuff? Like,
I would say getting through things, yeah. So, I have a little bit of a photography background. I know,
oh, really?
I know my way around Photoshop.
Okay,
a little bit of AI, but
well, I mean, the new AI is all, have you seen the new AI for Photoshop?
I'm not, so that's more design. Yeah.
Okay, no,
I'm
but the,
Photoshop,
the new but. AI for Photoshop is crazy. Like, let's say it was a photo. You could literally circle, like it was like a photo of a field, right? I could circle something and be like, put a cottage here, and it would put a cottage there that looks identical to like, and it gives you different options and everything.
That's cool.
Yeah. Or bring up my California. Yeah. I sent it to you in your text messages.
I learned Photoshop when it wasn't a suite.
When it was,
you
download it.
It was Photoshop 3 or 4 or something like that.
Oh,
how long ago was it?
It was a while ago.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, go there. So I made this funny logo recently for our... Okay, it's my wife. My wife gets mad that I don't give her credit for stuff.
Okay.
That right there, the cow.
The cow.
Yeah, so you know the California flag with the grizzly bear and stuff? Yeah. But I made that... Or we made that one with the Central Valley Podcast with the cow. Because that's way more valley-based, you know?
Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah.
So we're working on getting merch for that, but...
That's cool.
I've been working on merch for a long time, and people are like, hey, where can we buy these almond allergies and asthma shirts? And I'm like, oh, yeah, they're coming. They've been coming for a year, you guys. Yeah. If you make it full screen, you can really tell where it's pixelated.
Yeah. It was showing our messages. I was like, I'm just going to blow it up.
We got to hide what we say. It's like, where's the podcast? Where's the podcast? Yeah. It's like, you told me you sent me the audio last night, man.
Man, you just need one of those, like... those cow pies that you see, like,
oh, yeah, the film, yeah, exactly, on the bottom the half of it. Yeah. That's cool, dude. Cool. Well, you know, open up, or would you want to open up one of the other beers you brought?
We can if you want to get into that.
I want to learn a little bit about it.
Yeah,
I mean, I just don't know. I don't know that much about that, like that style of beer and stuff. You know what I mean?
I'll get a little bit into it. It's been one of my favorite styles. So.
Yeah, you put it right in the middle. Yeah.
I would just need one of those glasses.
Oh. You
don't mind.
Yeah, this
one. Yeah. So, little background about this. This is a lambic. It's goose. It's made by Dre Fontaine out of
Boston. So I'm going to stop you there. What is that? What is the first word that you said to me?
Alambic? Or
yeah, lambic,
so
yeah.
It's a style of beer that's made primarily in and around Brussels region. I forget what it's called, like the Potten region, mm-hmm. something like that. But it's one of those things like, you know, you can only call it lambic if it's from that region.
Oh, so kind of like even tequila? Kind of like
Bordeaux
or
Champagne,
gotcha.
Right? So now there's definitely American inspirations of mm-hmm. this, and I brought one today mm-hmm. that we've done. We only did one version at one point. But this is one of my favorite beers that I eventually led up to in my beer geekism, like let's say starting in the early 2000s. Uh-huh.
That's cool, though, because you kind of see like the progression of beer.
Yeah.
Like through your like not only do you work like in the industry, but like you're saying, like you gotta like.
Yeah, I mean, I've really fell in love with what I did, right? So, yeah. and in order to do that, you gotta really dive in and just get learn everything you can, and experience all different types and styles from all different areas. And this is one of the ones that excited me the most. I've actually been to Brussels. I've been to this brewery. I've met the original blender. He actually passed away a year ago. But great beer. This one is it's a 2012. So lambic is something that can age like wine, typically up to 20 years.
Does it get higher percentage of alcohol?
No. You know, so the oxidation changes the flavor. But there's wild yeast and mixed culture yeast that's in this. So it changes over time. Right?
Okay.
Different flavors. Change with the different age and oxidation. That's why most of them are usually corked to allow that to happen.
Yeah.
So it might pop. We'll see. I have a significant amount of 2012 vintages because that's the year I was married. And
did you get it in 2012, or do you go?
Most
and...
of them I did not get in 2012. Oh, okay. I've just collected that year as I've.
And where do they sell like this type of stuff?
This one might be available not this year, but in probably higher end like beer markets, or mm-hmm. sometimes you can pull one at like a Whole Foods. And there's not one.
Or like BevMo would have something, or no?
Not really BevMo. Yeah. But there's bottle shops that you'd have to travel for. That you could get this. For me, though, a lot of the stuff I acquired was through trading.
You're trading beer over here, man. Yeah. It's a whole underground market. Black market of beer.
If you were to get this in Brussels, there we go.
Oh, we got it. Just hit Duffy in the eye.
like when it was released, you're talking maybe $10 American.
Are you giving me your
Duffy? Oh, yeah. But when it's vintage and when it's something that's like this old, if I was to try and get it now, it's probably like a $60, $80 bottle.
Oh, okay.
Wow. This little bottle right here. Yeah. Being over 10 years old. And, if you ever see videos of this guy pouring his beer, I'm actually doing it wrong. He pours it like this, and he just constant pours to leave the yeast that settles at the bottom.
Oh.
And it's like, he'll even spill it over glasses just to get it an even flow of beer. I might have mixed some yeast in it, but I don't know. I love the dregs anyway. Yeah. So
cheers, man. Cheers. Thank you. Yeah. I appreciate you bringing this.
Cheers. Yeah. So probably the rarest beer you'll ever drink on the podcast. So I'm excited.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
It's so think of is some phenols there, but it's, mm-hmm. It's a lambic, which means a lot of it, and it's an oak age too. So what they traditionally do with goose is it's a blend of 3 years of oak aged. So it's 1 year old lambic, 2 year old lambic, and 3 year old lambic that's aged in oak that they uh-huh. blend together.
Oh,
to
really?
Get this. Yeah. So.
And what does that do if you're like taking
it's
the
different
years?
Age? So things age differently in oak, just like they would with bourbon or mm-hmm. wine or whatever, and. They blend it, so most lambic goose blend, makers are blenders for the most part. So they blend to taste. And the only way you can get a better control on those flavors and the best experience is by blending different years.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So
Okay. Yeah.
So even every vintage is gonna be different. So there's some vintages that are more popular than others.
I don't know if this is
but
like,
this guy, this uh-huh. is this guy's probably the most popular.
Oh, like, of this type of style?
Of this type of style, yeah. As far as blending, being a blender.
So do prices go up now that he passed away? I mean, out of curiosity.
Probably on the stuff that happened when he was, you know, still the main blender. Yeah. I don't actually, I'm not in that game anymore, so I don't know.
I think you're kind of in that game, man.
As far as, like, trading and just no values, you know.
So what do you trade then? Like, you know what I mean? If you're trading, like, you have other type of, like, rare.
Back in the day, like, you could get stuff here that people in, like, Europe want that they can't get there. And so you're like, hey, I got this, you got that I want. We'll mail each other and trust each other that we're going to send it. And
what's something over here then? Like there's other things that are kind of similar to this?
There's
or
a few breweries that used to trade for stuff either on the East Coast or even internationally. Sante Darius, based out of Capitola, is one of them. Is the closest one to us. This place in Vermont called Hill Farmstead. Mm-hmm. They still trade for some pretty good stuff. Those are similar breweries that did mix fermentation mm-hmm. beers that could trade for other stuff like this. And
yeah, so this is 11.
What people that had lambic in Europe really liked was barrel aged stouts, though. That was a big
thing. Oh, really? Barrel aged stouts.
So high gravity, like 16-17%, heavily adjunct with vanilla, marshmallows, chocolate, whatever, coffee, that type of stuff. So again, I'm not really in the game anymore. I haven't been for like before pandemic. Let's say is when I. Really
slow down.
Dropped off. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I still enjoy
back,
it.
Man.
I still enjoy
back.
It. Yeah, so.
You didn't lose the knowledge of it.
Yeah.
It tastes really good, though.
No, and I still appreciate it.
Yeah.
It's just I'm not actively
like searching and
spending
looking for
money.
It.
And,
yeah. It's like hobbies. It's like for me, like camera stuff was a hobby in the beginning, and then it became my career. Yeah. So kind of similar to you. You know what I mean?
Now it's a write-off.
Like, exactly. Yeah. It works, but then it's like, I'm like deep in like, well, camera stuff. It's always like, man, I want a new lens. I want this. I want that. But it's always like, there's always something you could want.
Oh, in totally.
It. Yeah. Yeah. It kind of reminds me of, and I don't know if this is bad in the beer culture, but it kind of reminds me of like kombucha-ish. You know what I mean?
A little bit. The tartness.
The tartness.
The
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So you're like this one I can taste is very, it's got, you know, they have these weird terms for taste and when it comes to lambic or this style of beer. Horse blanket is one of them. You wouldn't think that's like
is
desirable.
That supposed to be like horseradish?
No.
What is that
it's
supposed
like,
to be? Like, I'm trying to figure out what flavor that is.
It's got this like sharpness to it, right? That has on its finish, but a lot of that has to do with the type of yeast. Brett being one of the main types of yeast that makes this funky and has a little bit of that sharpness. And that is the yeast that really evolves over time when you age it, too. So Brettanomyces is what it's short for, Brett.
Okay, gotcha. It's not just a guy. I'm just kidding.
Not a guy. No,
Brett.
Lactobacillus, Pediococcus. So there's different wild yeast strains or the strains that...
And so do they go out in the wild and get them? Or is it just like they grow their own wild
No,
yeast?
So when they're brewing in the beginning stages, they collect wild yeast from the atmosphere. Now, some breweries can inoculate wild yeast into the world of the beer, but a lot of times they just open ferment for a handful of days to get all the stuff in the atmosphere, mm-hmm. and then they move it.
And they close it up.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So, and that's part of why what makes it. You can only get lambic in Brussels because you only get the wild yeast that makes it special
there.
In that area and that I mean again to most people this is like I don't know why this is so crazy but it's a developed palate. I've learned to really love this and it's just something you don't get in most beers mm-hmm. that
No, it's for sure a very unique
it's
flavor.
Unique.
That's why I was like,
I mean,
treat
it like wine or something.
Yeah, no, exactly. Like the first sip of it, I was like, oh. And then the second sip, it's like one of those things where the more you just sip, and you're supposed to sip on this, I assume, right?
Yeah, you're not chugging it. I mean, you can, but,
Okay. That's cool. Have you ever tried to, did you ever, homebrew or anything?
Never homebrewed.
Really?
I'm a pure just taster
connoisseur.
I've had a lot of beer, so I know how to talk about beer, I know how to describe it, I know I know enough to be dangerous, but I'm not a brewer. Never say I'm a brewer. Mm-hmm. But I appreciate beer. I've always appreciated beer. I don't think I can't remember other than when I was younger just tasting cans of my dad lived in Portland when I was a kid, so Bush is the beer up there.
Yeah, yeah.
Bud Light maybe here, but you know that was
not
when,
anymore. But
not anymore.
Coors Light now,
or 99 now.
Yeah, so, or 99 yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But you know, I never really got into that beer. I started drinking like Newcastle when I was more a little bit more mature, mm-hmm. even maybe before I was of age, but. Newcastle, Sierra Nevada was one of my first like real craft
yeah,
beers.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
Chico.
What is going on with this? It was like bitter to me. It was bitter as all hell. But
yeah,
it was, like,
yeah.
It was different than a Bud Light bitter or a Busch bitter.
Yeah.
You know? So I've always been into it. In college, I got into it even more, and that's inevitably what led me to what yeah. I'm doing today. So
yeah, that's cool.
I've appreciated the ride.
Do you know the like origin of beer? Like
you mean like who first made it?
And, oh, and I mean not necessarily that, but like the culture, like of like because I'm you know what I mean of that like I mean like yeah,
why
way
they
back
call an IPA an IPA or what
no, but more no, so. More like I guess like back in the day, like let's say like 100 years ago, what was like beer like back then? Do you know anything about you don't?
I mean, I do know that the equipment was less sophisticated, so you're getting things that are unfiltered. They look, you know, like. They look like some of the beers that are popular now that are
the
hazy.
Yeah, yes. But they weren't meant to be hazy. Yeah, yeah.
No. I mean the popular story with IPA, and I'm sure maybe you know that. I would think everyone has probably told this by a beer geek or a
homebrewer.
I don't
know, man. I don't know if I do, but go ahead.
the origination of the IPA had to last the long shipments from England to India, and they had to extra hop it. Because hop is a preservative,
really?
And that's where the style came from. And
oh, so how long have they been around for a while then?
Beer's been around for
but like the hoppiness and stuff like
yeah.
So the whole IPA
hops have always been one of the main ingredients in beer, but they're mainly as a preservative, not as a like a flavor ingredient.
And that's why they were added was because the beer could last longer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
that's. It's a preservative, yeah. So mainly used when you're basically in the boil, when mm-hmm. you're making the first part of the beer, which is the wort. It's the sugar, the malted sugar water that you use to introduce yeast in that ferments and creates the alcohol.
Oh.
Yeah.
I had no idea, honestly.
Nice. Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah. But you know, hops are added during that boil stage, and it's not only... It's mainly used, but now it's main flavor component in most.
Yeah, right. And most, it's always like hops and stuff like that.
You know, the main ingredients, water is a big one. Yeast adds a lot of flavor, even you don't think it does, because most people don't even know yeast goes into beer. the grain, the malts is obviously huge, and then the hops are a big part. Nowadays, though, there's adjuncts, and that started probably in the late 2000s, early 2010s.
And what is adjuncts?
Things that aren't traditionally beer ingredients, that you're really not using to ferment with too. So, vanilla, coffee, chocolate.
Okay, yeah.
You know those types of things. You could even consider like corn and a few other types of things as adjuncts, but they don't add flavor.
Does corn like kind of substitute, or is it like kind of like the wheat type deal?
It
or
kinda makes it a little more crisp and clean because it's not a fermentable.
So. Okay.
At least I don't think it is. Don't quote me on that.
Yeah, no worries.
But the point is those adjuncts are meant for flavor.
Oh, okay.
Right.
Gotcha.
That's typically it's not necessarily actual ingredients that need to make the beer.
Yeah. Gotcha.
This podcast is brought to you by Blaker Brewing, the official beer of the podcast. Located in Atwater and Ceres, this brewery offers not only delicious tasting beer, but great events that bring the whole community together. And this month, on August 25th, that's a Friday night, make sure your calendars are free from 7 p.m. to 2 a.m. It's after work, you guys. Everyone can make it. This is a 21 and older event called Deja Brew. It's going to be located at the tarmac, and it's basically their EDM festival. They got techno music, you guys. They got a whole bunch of DJs. They got performers, including Spook, Berman Boys, Evoltant, and so much more. There's going to be food there. There's going to be drinks. There's going to be beer. There's going to be mixed drinks. It's just going to be a blast. I'll be there filming it. So make sure you guys are free on August 25th from 7 p.m. to 2 a.m. for their Deja Brew event. Thanks again, Blaker. This podcast is brought to you by Crybaby Wine. Proudly located in Fresno, Crybaby Wine offers you your favorite delicious tasting wines like Chardonnay, Cabernet, and everything in between. Not only do they have these great tasting wines, but they also have delicious de-alcoholized CBD wine. Infused with CBD and CBG, these wines help reduce anxiety and alleviate stress. You can find their products at crybabywine.com, and if you live in Fresno County, you'll receive free delivery. Once again, check them out at crybabywine.com and follow them on Instagram at crybabywinecalifornia. Use CVP, yes, that's right, use the code CVP to get a percentage off of your next order, you guys. Once again, use code CVP. Thanks again, Crybaby.
And then what is, like, Tayoga Sequoia's, like, core values? Like, you know what I mean?
Like, what does it mean?
No. You're like, I mean, it's pretty explicit.
It's pretty obvious, right?
Yeah.
Some people don't know, though.
Yeah, well, I guess, yeah.
So
start with there,
yeah,
and then go.
So the idea, Tioga, which hopefully people know, we got that from Tioga Pass.
Yeah.
It's the Yosemite
just opened
theme.
Up, you guys.
It's just opened up, yeah. So there's that northern end of the Sierras in Yosemite, and then Sequoia being the predominant tree in Sequoia National Park, and being this big thing of, like, grandeur that we wanted to include into our name. So those two together kind of represent the region of our
area. Yeah, exactly.
Area
you guys are pretty close to, what is it? Is it Sequoia National Park, right?
I mean, we're right in the middle of both.
Right, yeah, right?
Really,
yeah, yeah.
About an hour and a half away.
Yeah, because we're 2 hours from Yosemite, but it's like 3.5 to go to Sequoia National Park.
Yeah, for you.
Yeah, for me. Merced,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yep. So what'd you ask?
The core values. Or, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. So... we talk about, when I talk about Tioga, we have, like, really two main pillars. One is very obvious, our outdoors, you know, preserving our backyard within the parks and our national forests, and we support organizations that help maintain them, raise awareness, stewardship, programs and things within those areas. It's a big part of it. Our initial slogan was Save the Sierra, right?
Mm-hmm.
Maintain it and keep it for future generations. What we've been able to build as a brewery as we've aged and we've built this like culture hub in downtown Fresno, very community focused. Like, beer needs to be experienced within a community and within, like, a social setting. And we try and do our best to make those experiences memorable and lasting, and our flavors and our ideas and our brands and the things that we program within our spaces, like, they're meant to have good experiences. So you remember, oh, I drank that beer when I had this, when I listened to this song, or I had this fun, you know, experience with a friend, or
was that a block party?
First beer I ever drank, whatever it is, right? Like, so that is a big part of what we've really tried to lean into as we've become a brand and a known.
Yeah, because, like, I feel like your clothing and a lot of that stuff is like a brand, like you're saying. It is a brand. Not that it's more than it's a brewery. Obviously, the brewery is part of the brand. But what did that kind of start at a certain point when you guys started, like... Because, well, you said it's kind of started as a brand, though, right?
It started as an identity, yes. But it was more of a... Those were symbols, right? Mm-hmm. We weren't active in the community. It was just, I know what... I've seen Half Dome, and there's a beer there.
Right? Yeah.
But we didn't have a home until we built that beer garden. So we started doing events to where people understood who we were. And then within that, we started to curate, okay, we love working with these guys, this sound, or these musicians, or these, you know, right now, one of our biggest partners is Mike Oz with Fresno Street Eats. He helps create all of the food programming that we do at the beer garden with these themed food truck events and this thing called TB&J, Tacos, Brews, and Jams. It's been something we've been doing about a decade now, and it's this monthly thing that we do that's built this vibe around it. You know,
said he's starting to help with...
He's starting to help with stuff in Merced, yeah. So, again, just really leaning into the community and what culture and means to us, and how we can... We basically are a part and the staple of the cult. We want to be that.
Yeah.
We want to be that thing people are proud of, whether they're going to our place. And we have a lot of people that don't drink beer that show up to our beer garden, right?
Mm-hmm.
But they're with someone that does, and they had a great experience. And then they're like, oh, I went to Tioga. You know,
it's more than just a brewery.
It's more than just a brewery, yeah. And I think a lot of breweries are going down, or have been going down that path. I just think we do it better than most.
Yeah. It's the environment that
exactly.
you can create. Like, yeah, there's alcohol, yeah, it's beer and stuff like that, but more than that, we want it to be known as, like, hey, you can come here, have a good time. You can come here and celebrate.
Yeah, always have something going on.
Yeah.
And we have good beer to share it with.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's awesome, dude.
So those two things, community and, you know, love for the outdoors,
mm-hmm.
that those are the two things that really make
And you've hiked Half Dome before?
I've hiked Half Dome three times.
Three times. Yeah. I did it twice.
Hiked Mount Whitney, which we have a beer named Mount Whitney, too. We just don't produce it.
You did Mount Whitney
twice.
Really?
Yep.
I think the highest peak I've done is Mount Dana. And that's news. Like that's at the very end of Tioga. So like okay. you go out.
Is it a 12K plus?
Yeah, it's 13. I'll actually look it up because I don't mind.
You said Mount Dana?
Yeah.
Yeah. Show the pictures that he posted.
Yeah, somewhere. What is it?
3,000.
No, that's the elevation gain.
Oh, right.
Man.
Yeah, you're like, wow. Yeah. No. Just type in Mount Dana elevation.
Oh, 13,060.
Yeah.
And that was like, but it's a pretty short hike. It's like, we'll go back to All Trails.
Do you start like at 10, 11 or something?
Yeah. So, but it.
5 miles?
But it's only 5 miles, but it's a 3,000 foot elevation gain.
Mm.
And so, like, and the first mile is not any elevation gain. Oh, okay. So, like, literally, it was so me and my friends, like, taking,
like 1 mile of, like, 3,000. Yeah.
Dude, it was just shale rock climbing up, dude. And me and my friends were like, oh, I was like, oh, 5 miles? That's so, like, whatever.
Yeah, spread
and
out.
All of us had altitude sickness. So we were like, because we started here in the valley at zero, and we went straight to 10,000, and then we hiked up to 3,000, but it was like we'd take 5 steps and like be like, oh my, we need to sit down for
heavy
a little
breathing.
Bit. Yeah, exactly. It was something, man. But I love Mammoth area, like Mammoth Lakes and stuff like that.
I haven't spent a lot of time. I usually go down the Kern side.
Mm-hmm.
I've only been through Tioga Pass a couple times.
Well, because it's not necessary for us. It's like you just. Like when we're going in the park through 140, it's like, oh, you
it's
turn.
It's a little easier when tires
open. Yeah, exactly.
For me, it's a little shorter going down the 99 and back up.
Yeah. But still, it's like it's more of a drive for you guys. It's an extra hour, right?
And a lot of the times I spend, it's when it's closing too, the pass is closing too. I've done, when I did Whitney was in October.
Oh.
October, so it was already starting to
get regular,
but yeah.
Dang. And so have you always been into hiking and stuff?
I've always been into camping and outdoors and,
yeah.
you know, but really hiking probably last decade.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. When I hit my 30s and I was like, I really need to explore the outdoors more. And, you know, well, I still,
it's kind
well,
of
I still
our thing
can.
Here.
Yeah.
So you climbed like Mount Whitney, like when was the last time you climbed Mount Whitney then? 2 years ago?
2021.
Oh, okay. Yeah, like pretty real recent then.
Yeah, I did Half Dome last year for the last.
Okay.
The last time I did it was last year.
Last time I'm never doing. I'm never going back.
I do both of them every year if I could win the lottery.
Yeah.
I would do them every.
Me
year.
Me and my wife did
until I can't.
Half Dome and we did Half Dome in 2021, and I decided to take it upon myself to record the whole entire thing. So I set up my camera to walk 20 yards and then walk back and get it. But I was cramping out.
Someone similar to your position record one of our first hikes to have.
Oh,
to.
Like
it's actually online too.
Oh, you can watch cool. Yeah, I'll check it out later.
But it's so it's watching someone record and hike at the same time. This guy was like a beast. Like if I'm not sure how you handled the cables, but this guy literally we didn't ask him to do this. One of the camera people that went with us, he's like climbing backwards off the ropes up, recording us going up. The cable.
Yeah, I wasn't.
Like,
I was
didn't
a,
care. Like this guy is like a ninja.
I was like a solo man doing this, so I was like, I just
you were selfing.
I had a GoPro too.
I think you said like you had to walk up, place it, and then like walk back.
Yeah, exactly. Man, and then when we got to the cables, I did like a time lapse of people doing it.
Yeah,
but we got to the cables at like 7 a.m. because we camped at the backpackers camp.
Okay,
which I wouldn't because I wouldn't like if we're with the going back and forth. There's no way I could have done it in one day, honestly.
You started so. At the valley floor.
Yeah, we started at the valley floor.
You got there, the cables at 7?
No, 7 a.m. because we camped. There's a backpackers camp on your way to Half Dome.
You're talking about Little Yosemite.
Little Yosemite Valley or whatever. Yeah. So we camped there. Okay. And then in the morning, we woke up at like 5 a.m. and hiked the rest of it.
I haven't done that. I've only done it from the valley.
It's honestly a lot easier. Or,
I know. That's
when
usually.
When you split it up, it's like, I was like, oh, okay, this is cool now. And I didn't have to care. We were carrying backpacking stuff the whole time, too. Well, so it'd be different.
And you heard about the guy that just, the 93 that just did it a couple days ago?
He's like 93 years old.
Crazy.
I don't know. Like, did he get pulled up the cables?
No. Well, I don't know how he made it up the cables. But in the news report, they said that they basically split it up into 3 days. So they hiked to where you camped, summited, then hiked back down to that spot, and then the next day they came down.
Okay, so, that makes more sense.
I was like, man, that guy, there's no way he made it all the way down, and my knees are killing me. Like,
then they helicopter evacuated him from the top.
Oh, man, or he just rappelled down.
Yeah, but I've seen people climb Half Dome when the cables aren't up. And that looks crazy.
I mean, I've summited Half Dome where I've seen actual climbers come up over the face.
Oh yeah, no, when I got up there last time, me and my wife
look like,
easy. We got up there and then all of a sudden we see somebody like climbing over the top. I'm like, where did you come from? And they're like, we actually climbed it. You guys hiked it, okay?
You had cables.
Exactly, dude. Yeah. But I remember because the very first time I did, it must have been like 2012, 2013. But it was like, I feel like it was a lot different. Or like there was just a piles of gloves and stuff like that for you to use and stuff. And like this last time was like a little more
cleaned up.
Yeah, cleaned up. You got to know what you're doing and stuff.
Yeah, they're a little more, they've been strict recently. I mean, this the whole reservation thing going away and the most water Yosemite's seen in decades. So
dude.
Like, it's just nuts. It's nuts in Yosemite the last
we had a podcast yesterday. We were talking about how much snow Mammoth got. What was it?
715 inches or like almost 60 feet.
Yeah. Wow. Of snow. Yeah. And he was like, oh, my buddy just got finished snowboarding there last week. And like, you can still snowboard in July. That's freaking wild.
It's nuts.
Yeah,
nuts.
Dude. Yeah.
I mean, they just opened Tioga Pass. They just opened a few other high elevation things. Like, it makes sense, but it's just ridiculous.
Yeah. And it's crazy because we compared it from last year's snowpack and rainfall to like this year's is like a 500 inch like increase, which is crazy.
Yeah.
But we need it. It's good.
Yeah. We'll take it.
We'll take it.
Yeah. Hopefully we can keep it.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
The valley's problem. We don't have the ability to store it.
We don't have that type of infrastructure.
Yeah, because the lakes have been full now for since the flooding and stuff was happening.
Yeah, since like March, April.
Yeah, so, dude. Yeah.
Before the snow melt.
We already were full. Yeah. It's like,
Yeah.
Dang, dude. And the rivers and everything are just like, because like you haven't even been able to go swim in any of the, like, you normally can go swim in Briceburg and stuff like that, but
even in Yosemite
too. Already there's even like three people who have passed away from going in the rivers and stuff. I'm like, I will never swim in Yosemite.
I did Half Dome twice in September. Usually it's dry, like the Mist Trail is no longer a Mist Trail, it's just a trail along a river, right? But the Mist Trail is like the downpour trail right now.
It's
just like blowing water at you.
Yeah, me and my wife we went halfway up the Mist Trail that I told you not doing long ago with Yosemite. Yeah, and we did half of she's pregnant, so we did half of it. I was like, hey, well, I'm not trying to.
Yeah.
I was like, we're trying to be okay here. But still, it was wild seeing that much mist and stuff. Because like I've been up when I'm like on a normal year where it feels like there's hella mist, but it's like on another level right now.
Yeah, nuts. All the waterfalls are just roaring.
So, yeah, and the Bridalville has been closed for a little while.
The look, but you can still see it.
And you can still climb up on like a side view. Yeah. My parents were telling me. My parents went to Yosemite, and they there was like they like to go like instead of going up the Mist Trail to go like up John Muir, but like right now it was closed or whatever. There was a sign that said it was closed. My dad's like, "Oh, we'll be fine. It's okay. Like, it's whatever." And like it says like multiple times, like you'll be fine.
Yeah, we'll be fine. He said that.
Yeah, my dad was like, "We'll be fine." And my mom's like a rule follower.
Yeah,
she's like, "We're gonna."
My wife's too.
Yeah. So she was like, "No." He's like, "It's okay." And so they're like almost to like where like comes out and joins the Mist Trail.
Yeah.
And they run into like rangers walking back this way, and they're like, "Did you guys see the sign?" And they're like, "Oh yeah, we saw the sign." Yeah. And they're like, "We'll be all right." Yeah, we'll really appreciate it if you guys like followed it. Because they said it basically there were just like some like small streams and rivers that were like right up to the bridges and stuff like that. But they didn't get fined, so I guess it's okay for them. That's funny.
The rangers are, if you're not blatantly doing crazy.
Usually they're pretty cool. Yeah, my friends got pulled over for speeding. Shout out to you, Errol, always getting pulled over for speeding.
Always.
In the park?
Yeah. It was like we're going up Tioga.
Oh, okay.
And then we pulled over like to try to hide. He was like, the cop was like, "Hey, like I saw what you did, man." But he was cool. He was cool about it. Even with trying to hide a little bit. That's funny. But honestly, this is like growing. Like the flavor of this is really growing on me.
Yeah.
Like the first couple of sips, it's kind of like your palate's getting used to it. Yeah. But
there's a little more if you want some, but
Yeah. We'll pour a little here, and then I'll go. Duffy, I don't know if you want some.
I feel like it's higher percentage, even if they.
He's still working
it's
on it.
Not, it's not. It's this like usually around.
Mike,
five,
it is. I'm just kidding.
I can't. What this?
You're not supposed to choke it.
I know.
6%.
He said I could.
Yeah. There's Duffy's.
Duffy will get most of the dregs. He'll get the flavor.
Nice.
There's the flavor.
There's yeah. a flavor.
So they call Flavor Town.
They call them bugs.
Bugs.
Yeast, bugs. Yeah.
There you go. I had some questions written out, but we were just flowing so well that I was like, oh, whatever.
That's usually how it goes.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Oh, what else do I got here?
You know, I could elaborate on yeah. maybe some of the stuff, but I don't.
I mean,
what else you have? Maybe.
I mean, I think we did cover a lot of it, mm-hmm. but I guess I'm trying to think. I guess so. Before the like breweries, like local breweries came around, was it just kind of like a monopoly with like Coors Light, Bud Light? You know what I mean? Like,
you mean in the valley or
no? I just meant like in general, like because there was like. You're saying there was like the breweries that were, what are they called again?
Brew pubs.
Yes. Yeah. You think yeah. I would learn by now, but so brew pubs. But other than that, other than the brew pubs, was yeah. it just kind of
so,
like?
I mean, I know generally some history, but you know, Prohibition like annihilated a lot of stuff, right?
Oh.
So coming back to after Prohibition, you know, I believe that there's like in the hundreds, if not you know multiple hundreds yeah. of breweries throughout the country. When Prohibition like ended, you know, there was less than 50. It was like it dramatically decreased. So building that beer kind of sent like regionally focused market, like it took a long time. It took, you know, 40 years, 50
yeah,
years
yeah,
something
yeah.
like that before it started actually getting some traction. But
I wonder how many like were like breweries were there for like a long time and then like because of Prohibition just stopped.
A lot, as yeah, I'm saying. Yeah, there yeah. was I mean, don't quote me, but there's definitely hundreds
yeah, yeah.
that then went to, like, a handful to, you know, less than 50. So, yeah.
Quote.
So,
yeah.
So I just, you know, so, I think Prohibition, it did a lot to all alcohol, you know, the whole alcohol mm-hmm. industry.
And then is
so.
The family who founded Tioga still, they're still involved?
Yeah, but so I'm now the managing partner.
Yeah.
I've kind of evolved that initial first that, you know, handful of month intern
yeah.
to... This brand marketing manager, 2014, I want to say, was when I got the president title.
Position, yeah. So almost 10 years.
For the title, yes.
For the title, for the title of president,
Yep, so, but they're not as active as most. You know,
so, like, you're kind of like, you're the one that's, like, pushing it and yeah. and growing it yeah, and yeah. stuff.
All of it, but it's not my money. Everything else.
Yeah.
I do everything else.
So, yeah.
But, I mean, it's fun. I mean, I've had super appreciative of all the things I've been able to do and all of the you know, legroom I've had to grow this thing.
Yeah,
and really shape it in the direction of really what I see, you know, is needed and especially from like a marketing perspective.
Yeah. Yeah. So do you go to school for marketing?
That was, business option in marketing.
Fresno okay. State. Did you go to Fresno State?
Mm-hmm.
And where are you from? Are you born and raised in Fresno? Or?
I was born in Fresno. Was raised there till I was about 7. And then most of my family's from Selma, which is another small
okay, yeah, right over there too,
town.
Right?
So
yeah.
Went to high school there. That's where I graduated high school.
So all Valley raised, yeah.
Valley raised, and then when I graduated, I went to Fresno City. So went to community college uh-huh. for a couple of years, and then Fresno State. And
oh, okay.
Got this gig right uh-huh. when I graduated.
And so how
crazy?
I guess we could talk about like how do you think that Valley? Because I mean, you've grown up here,
mm-hmm.
and so how do you think like the Valley's like transformed a lot to me? You know what I mean? Even from like the last 10 years, it really has, in my personal opinion. But mm-hmm. like, what is your kind of take on the Valley and stuff like that?
So I think when I was first getting, let's just say, outside of college, right, there was a lot of like exodus from my generation mm-hmm. of LA, San Francisco, wherever, right? Like anywhere that's not here is better than here, basically. Mm-hmm.
Same right? thing with us. And like we graduated like high school like 2011-ish, you know what I mean? And same thing though. It's like, I think a lot of, like for a long time, the culture was like, we got to get out of here.
Yeah. And I think there's still some of that stigma too. But I feel like while there may be some opportunities, it's very specific to those communities and those areas where a part of what I've not only loved to see is people be successful and actually make some really cool changes and do some pretty cool things here.
This podcast is brought to you by Connor Manufacturing Incorporated. They are a local family-owned and operated machine shop that services the Central Valley and beyond. They specialize in complex parts using the state-of-the-art manufacturing processes. Now, if you are interested in using their services, you can send all RFQs through their website at www.connormfg.com. Once again, if you're interested in their services, please send all RFQs through their website at www.connormfg.com. Also, make sure to follow them on Instagram, Connor_MFG. Once again, that's at @CONOUR_MFG. Thanks again, Sean. Delta Farms Trucking. They have been serving the Central Valley region for over 50 years, specializing in ag transportation and hay sales. They understand the importance of reliable transportation services within the ag industry, along with the vital role that high-quality hay plays in livestock. With their expertise in both areas, they strive to provide comprehensive solutions that meet the needs of both ag and dairy farmers. Call Spencer Vieira today at Delta Farms Trucking at 209-761-1465. Once again, that's 209-761-1465. Thanks again, Spencer.
There's a double reward for being successful, which we're also creating something of pride for the community, growing it so that other people can say, no, I don't need to leave. I can do that here and be successful and be proud of what I do because there's these examples here.
Right? Yeah.
So I really take a lot of a pride in being one of those, or at least I think we're one of those.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
And so that's a big part of what I think helps drive motivation to keep doing what we're doing. And really what where I think's led the direction of how we've been successful.
Mm-hmm.
So
I agree. And that's kind of like how the podcast started. It was just like people, you always hear negative things about the Central Valley, like growing up. And yeah, it was just, and I always try to tell people, it's like every place has bad areas. Every place has good areas. Every place has bad people.
Exactly.
Every place have good people. And like for so long, it was like everyone was just giving it a bad rep without any type of,
None of the positive, all the negative.
Yeah,
you got to own both, really.
I
think that's what makes it special. You own the freeway. You own the, the smells and the, So, but then you also own the good stuff.
Yeah,
too,
exactly.
Right?
And that's what I wanted to show people is like, dude, I get it. I get the bad. Like, trust me. But that's all you heard for so long. And it's like, so let's talk about the good. And that's why just by having these type of conversations with people, getting to know people who are actively doing stuff within the community, it's like there's people out there doing stuff and being active about it. And I want to be able to highlight those people and talk to them and like why they're doing what they're doing. You know what I mean?
I respect it. That's what caught my attention. That's why I'm here.
Yeah,
that's
exactly. Why, I'm glad we got to connect,
you.
Dude.
Yeah. I know it's been longer than I think you reached out to us a while ago.
But I reached out to you guys when I was in the house in my room. You know what I mean? So like, I get.
I think you know, and not to put an excuse on it, but I was like, you know, when we get to Merced and we start being active.
Yeah, no, exactly.
That's when I'm going to make the effort to make it.
Yeah. And you did, to your credit as well, you know what I mean? Because you hit me up with when I was like, because I hit people up and then I'm like, all right, well, like, if they want to, they will, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's why, like, when you hit me up, I was like, oh, cool. Like, you're like, and I liked it when you hit me up, you're like, honestly, just like, how can we be involved? Like, you weren't like, hey, like, put me on the podcast. You're like, we just want to be involved with you. So like, we like what you're doing. How can we be involved? And I was like, I do videography if you want to.
to that fact, like I do that with a lot of people that I see doing great things that are positive. I mean, you not only are doing great things, but you're like a sounding board for those great things.
Yeah.
Which is what I admire about what you're doing here. I know the struggle is real between a two-man show here, right?
Yeah.
You guys are serious. And I think some of you're funny, creative.
Mm-hmm.
You really get into the guests, you know, what they're about and make it
exciting. Yeah, I try to get, like, as much as I want to learn about their business and that stuff, it's like I also like to learn about the person itself because a lot of times people are so used to talking about, this is my company, I do this, I do that, But it's kind of like, okay, but like, who are you as a person? You know what I mean?
So
speaking of, what do you like to do besides this? Besides your beer stuff, you know, what do you like to do, Mike?
I mean, I can't.
That's all I do, man.
No, I mean, I can't deny I was probably more active in that. So that I would say this, you know, when I mentioned earlier, the last maybe decade or so, I've been more into like outdoors and hiking, which maybe before that was mostly beer. It's traveling.
Mm-hmm.
I do love to travel.
been, you know, in the beginning it was mostly to visit other breweries in different communities or different countries and stuff like that. That's a big deal for me. Hiking right now has been the main thing, and then also learning about, you know, trying to get more into active businesses that are doing great things too. Like we were good about bringing in talent and showcasing that in our locations, but I think we're at a stage now where we're wanting to pair with things that are even outside of that scope and different parts of the valley, and how we can grow and be successful where you are too. How can we come there in your community and make something happen? So traveling, learning about that, I think now is a different focus.
Yeah.
I love the outdoors. I love hiking. I love backpacking.
I love backpacking too. Backpacking is my shit, dude.
Yeah.
We went to Kennedy Lakes. We did that one not too long ago, but we did Thousand Island Lakes, which is like the backside of Yosemite.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And that one is beautiful. I took my dog, which I probably shouldn't have, but because it was all shale rock and I didn't put booties on him. And,
oh, wow. Those paws got kind of cut.
Dude, they got fucked up. And then I thought, then I was just looking at him like, I was like, did I just kill my dog? picking him up at some points, carrying him.
My dog loves the first half of hiking.
They double up on the mileage too, because we were doing it where like my buddy was maybe like, I don't know, like not a quarter mile, but like half of that in front of me, and then my other buddy was like half mile back. But my dog would go check on him, go back down, and totally. So our I think it was like an 8 mile hike in, he probably hiked 16 miles, and then like that day he is fine, and then the next day he's licking his paws, and then the next day I'm like, oh, well, they're red. We still have to hike back. I was like, oh my gosh. Yeah. What are your some of the backpacking places that you like?
Stick around more like Sierra National Forest. Mm-hmm. So one of my favorite is called Devil's Bathtub. It's kind of back near at Lake Edison.
Mm-hmm.
It's about I think round trip, maybe 8 miles. But this area, this lake, it's called Devil's Bathtub, but it's a lake. Very, you know, gets some traffic depending on what season you're in, but it's just beautiful. And it's kind of isolated. It's an Ansel Adams wilderness. It's one of my favorite places to go. I'd say that Twin Lakes and Cliff Lake out there near Dinky Wilderness.
Yeah.
It's a good spot. I mean, again, I do focus in the Sierra National Forest area, but I do tend to, just do a lot of day hikes too.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I've done Kaiser a handful of times, obviously Half Dome, Mount Whitney. Mm-hmm. I've done San Gorgonio. It's another, it was one of the hikes I did to prep me for my first Half Dome.
Yeah.
Hike. I think that was like 12,000.
Yeah.
A lot more exposure to sun because it's Southern California.
Exactly. I did Lost Coast Trail. Have you ever heard of Lost Coast Trail?
I've heard of it. I've never done it.
Oh, dude. That's definitely one that you want to do. It's in Northern California. But it's cool because you basically park at the end of it, and then you pay for a shuttle, and it takes you to the other side. And then you hike back to your car. And they say it's like 25, 30 miles, but you know, like when you're hiking, it like always tells, like, by the, it said we hiked 50 miles on our
It's thing. Longer.
Yeah, exactly. But it's cool. It's like the only part of California that's never been developed on the coast. So there's still bears out there. There's still like a whole bunch of wildlife, seals, elephant seals, whales and stuff. Like when we went, there was like a whole bunch of whale bones on the beach and stuff like that from like a dead whale. But it was like one of the funnest backpacking trips I've ever done. And we took our time. Like we did it in like 4 days, I think. So like plenty of time. But we did a thing where we did like, I think like 3 or 4 miles the first day. And then like the second day we did like 12 or something, where like we were like so burnt out, and at one point we're just like, because you like looking for campsites, and we're like just hiking in the middle of a river, just like we're just hiking up, we're like, let's see what's up here. Like we're just like fatigued, like not knowing what we're doing. And then they're always like, oh, like make sure you're like 10 yards away from like
using the restroom or something.
Like if there's like looks like there's a camp, like a campfire area, they're like, oh, put your tent like 10 yards away or whatever. And so like there was just like these people, and they're like, they were clearly there for this campsite area, but they were like 20 yards away from it. And then my buddy Errol's just like, I mean, we could just say we didn't see them, man. And like, it was just a prime location for a campsite. Total douches. But on the flip side of it,
great location.
Exactly. It was like one of the most memorable trips that I've done, though. And it was just, I can't recommend that one more than okay. anything.
Yeah, I haven't really been to that part of the coast. So.
Yeah, dude. Honestly, NorCal is like one of those things. I just went camping last weekend in Redwood State Park up in Humboldt County.
Okay.
And it was cool because literally it looked like a one lane road, but there was just giant sequoia trees literally everywhere. Or maybe the redwoods.
I've driven it once coming back from like the Oregon.
Yeah, water, yeah, yeah.
But I've never like hiked or camped.
Oh, you got to explore out there, yeah, man. Like Trinity Alps Wilderness is another one I've been backpacking. So I have a lot of friends that live in Oregon and Washington. And so what we do is we meet halfway in that area. Yeah, so... So sometimes, but my friend who lives in Washington, obviously, he gets the butt end of the.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah. But last year, I think last year we drove like 8 hours, and then they drove like 7 or something. But this year, he drove 10 hours, and we only had to do like 5.5, which I'm totally cool with.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You can do that in a day.
Yeah, exactly, yeah, exactly.
I'll be burnt out.
Yeah. Well, Mike, how can people support Tioga Sequoia? How can they find you guys? Like. Instagram, stuff like that.
Yeah, so we have all the socials, Instagram, and we even have LinkedIn, Twitter, Threads.
The new one, the new one.
Yeah, yeah. Facebook. website when it's working. You know? Yeah. but I think, you know, some of the best places to experience us are in our tap rooms. They have, you know, same message, but they do have a different vibe. You know, we have one that's more of a tap room, one that's more a venue, event venue. It's mostly outdoors. Great team there that can show you around if you've never had any of our beer. We always have something going on in Fresno, and we're starting to do it in Merced. We're building to it. We're building on what works and getting to know the community and who we can bring in. But we're also like pretty much most major retailers.
Yeah, you're pretty much everywhere,
liquor
right?
Stores,
yeah.
And, predominantly in like the Fresno, the 559, but we're growing. We're growing in the 209.
I feel like I see you guys pretty regularly. We are here, right?
In supermarkets, but I mean, that's the intent of our Merced location is we want to get involved with the community. We want people to know who we are. We want to, see our brands more places and have more of those experiences. You know, I tell a lot of the people in downtown, they're still thinking like, well, are you guys like my competition? Like what are you guys? Mm-hmm. Like, it was like, we make our own beer. That's what we focus on. We want to be a part of the community. But, you know, eventually we're going to hopefully have people that really love our stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to want to experience it in your atmosphere.
Yeah.
Your restaurant. Your, you know, someone like a joystick, like your video game kind of
environment. We want to be a part of the community. We're not here to, like, be competition or anything like that.
Yeah, so we're more of a brand that we want people to learn who we are and what we're about, and then hopefully that grows and people.
Dude, I have no doubt that it's going to grow into something. And then, I mean, just like being Yosemite based, being Valley based, like you're owning it. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah,
and that's
totally
what I love about it too. Like, like you have a beer, 99 Golden Ale. You know what I mean? And like that's what I love about your guys' brewery and stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean that is one thing I will say. We like to own what we're about here. Like we're not trying to be something that somewhere else.
Right? Mm-hmm.
We're very much owning what's here and proud of it. So, and we want people to be proud of that as well, right? So,
yeah,
yeah. I think, so supporting us, there's a lot of different ways. But I think I say this a lot. I'm just happy to be here. You know, I'm just happy to be doing what we're doing.
Yeah, yeah.
If you can enjoy it with me,
I'm just happy to be here too, man.
You know, we're both winning, right?
Yeah, so, yeah. So I like that. I'm just happy to be here.
Yeah, yeah, man. I can't deny that this has been a fun ride And we've had some great times, you know, so.
Awesome. Yep. Well, dude, thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
I truly appreciate
being invited.
And it's been over a year, but, we made it happen.
We made it happen. So, that's all that matters, dude. Who cares about when it is? We're all just on the journey together.
Yeah, drinking beer.
Exactly.
Celebrating, so, yeah.
All righty.
Shout out Duffy. Shout out Micah.
This is it. Central Valley Podcast.
Hey, big shout out Central Valley Podcast. You know I had to fuck with it. Hey, shout out Central Valley Podcast.